Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 81 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
The State Judicial Conduct Committee will review the text messages of some Rowan County elected officials.
A Lexington police officer has been suspended for violating department policy.
A Floyd County pastor and business owner has been indicted for allegedly using an electronic device to procure a minor.
A school board says a Christian-based theme park is not paying enough property taxes.
High school students in Lexington have created an advocacy group.
In sports, Moorhead State University holds their football season opener against Union tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Tonight, clear with a low around 59. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The State Judicial Conduct Committee will review the text messages of several elected officials in Rowan County. Judge Beth Mays was the circuit court judge for Bath, Menifee, Montgomery, and Rowan counties until she was suspended amid charges of official misconduct. Mays also faces forgery charges in Bath County stemming from an incident in September of 2017 when she allegedly forged documents pertaining to the arrest of her ex-husband, Champ Mays. She was indicted on two counts of second-degree forgery and one count of tampering with public records in November of last year. In the case of the proceedings against her, Mays alleged that Circuit Judge William Lane, Commonwealth's Attorney Ronnie Goldie, and Deanna Roberts, the wife of Judge Willie Roberts, had all conspired against Mays in order to have her removed from the bench. On August 6th, Mays requested a court order from the commission that would allow them to obtain and review text messages from Lane, Goldie, and Roberts before the formal proceedings against Mays scheduled for September the 9th. The commission listed the individuals as potential witnesses in the case and have written an order which requires AT&T and Sprint to provide those text messages from the three individuals on certain dates in 2017 and 2018. Mays is due in Bath Circuit Court for a pretrial conference on September 17th.
A day after Breathitt County Judge Executive Jeff Noble was taken to jail, he is out on a $2,000 surety bond. Noble is accused of using county money to fix a bridge on private property and using county credit cards to pay for diesel fuel for personal use. Tommy Miller is Noble's pastor. He tells WKYT Miller wants what is best for the county.
Jeff wants to help the children and make our community try to get jobs in here. And I know that seems almost impossible, but anything's possible with God. And that's, I think Jeff just wanted to see a change.
Noble's court date is currently unknown.
A Floyd County pastor and business owner has been indicted. Bobby Blackburn faces two counts of allegedly trying to procure a minor through an electronic device to commit a sexual offense. Blackburn pleaded not guilty back in June when police accused him of messaging a minor about engaging in sexual activity. Police say that after the teen told them about the messages, another girl showed up at the police station to defend Blackburn. However, she ended up telling police she was forced to lie. According to WIMT, the indictment concerns incidences believed to have happened between January 2016 and September 2017. The second supposedly happened May 29th of this year. Blackburn is being held in the Floyd County Detention Center without bond.
A police officer in Kentucky has been suspended without pay for repeatedly violating department policy. The Lexington Herald Leader reports Lexington police officer Jesse Masco's suspension is detailed in disciplinary records it obtained this week. Records say Masco twice failed to give a suspect a Miranda warning this year. They say he also committed traffic violations and failed to properly search a suspect, book evidence, use his body camera, and document a traffic stop. They say Masco's mistakes led to dropped charges. Records say Masco also stopped a vehicle for a window tint violation and chased the fleeing car, which then crashed into another vehicle. Department policy says officers shouldn't pursue suspects for nonviolent offenses unless the risk is justified. The Lexington Fayette Urban County Council approved Masco's two-month suspension this month.
Two people have been indicted in the 2016 death of an infant in Bath County. 24-year-old Justin Chaplin has been charged with the murder of a 7-month-old boy. He's accused of shaking the child, causing head trauma, and his eventual death. Katie Haddix, the boy's mother, was also indicted and charged with first-degree criminal child abuse. WKYT reports the indictments were filed on August 15th. Both Chaplin and Haddix are scheduled to be arraigned in Bath County on September 19th at 10 a.m.
New charges have been filed in the death of a Richmond mother of four. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
23-year-old David Sparks had originally been charged with abuse of a corpse and tampering with physical evidence after Savannah Spurlock's remains were found at a home owned by Sparks' family back in July. Now, a Garrett County grand jury has indicted him on a charge of murder. Spurlock was last seen leaving a Lexington bar back in January with three men, including Sparks. The other two men were questioned by police, but not charged. I'm Haley Hansen.
Jefferson County Attorney Mike O'Connell says his office is changing the way it treats low-level marijuana cases. While possession remains illegal in the state, cases involving 1 ounce or less of marijuana will no longer be prosecuted in Jefferson County. That's if the possession citation is the only or the most serious charge and the offender is over 21 years of age. This is O'Connell announcing the change on Wednesday.
My office will still receive any citation for marijuana possession brought to us by police, but we will use our limited prosecutorial resources in as strategic and efficient manner as possible. In my office, that means that we will now devote even more time and attention to serious and potentially deadly crimes involving guns, domestic violence, DUI, and not to mention the opioid crisis.
Cases that involve trafficking, cultivation, public use, or driving under the influence will still be prosecuted.
A school board says a Christian theme park with a 500-foot-long ark is not paying enough property taxes. WMKY's Zoe Hall has the story.
The Grant County School Board filed a lawsuit against the Ark Encounter after losing an administrative appeal. The board thinks that the theme park has been undervalued by county officials. The suit says the property valuation administrator estimated the property's worth at $48 million in 2017. The board claims the Ark Encounter is worth much more, possibly up to $130 million. In a statement released on Tuesday, the Ark Encounter declined to comment on the lawsuit. For WMKY News, I'm Zoe Hall.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Two men were arrested after a BB gun led to a lockdown at three Anderson County schools on Tuesday. Police received a phone call about two suspicious men on the school's property with a firearm. After 40 minutes of searching, police found Zachary King and Kyle Knight in a nearby home. Jamie Roach is a student at one of the schools.
So I went to get out of the car to go into school, and the teachers were telling me not to get out and was telling everyone in line to just keep circling around. So I called all my friends to make sure they weren't going into school or if they were safe at school, and pretty much had no idea what was going on.
The school district said the lockdowns were a precaution while police investigated the call. The men have been charged with disorderly conduct.
A tip provided from an unnamed student at Great Crossing High School in Scott County helped authorities quickly locate a loaded gun and detain the suspect. Georgetown police say 15-year-old male student was hiding the loaded handgun in his waistband. Assistant Police Chief Robert Swanigan tells WKYT the unnamed student did the right thing.
Kudos for having the courage to come forward and to do that. I applaud them. I think it's a tough position to be put in, but absolutely the right thing, 100% the right thing, without question.
Since the arrest, police say he will be charged with possession of a weapon on school property and other pending charges.
Around 100 high school students in Lexington have created an advocacy group to ensure their voices are heard. The Student Voice Team aims to amplify the voices of Kentucky students when it comes to education policy issues, especially school safety. Group member Sana Kunan tells LEX18 it's important students be involved.
School climate is the ability of a student to feel safe, included, and engaged and welcomed in their own school. To oversimplify, the emotional health of every student in a school.
Earlier this year, the Student Voice Team sent members to New York City to speak at a school climate conference to advocate for student involvement. The group hopes to encourage other students across the Commonwealth to become part of the conversation in both state and national policy.
A new task force has been created to keep drugs and guns out of Western Kentucky. The Hopkinsville Gun Crimes Task Force announced its first round of indictments against four people, each with lengthy criminal histories. They're charged with being a felon in possession of a firearm. U.S. Attorney Russell Coleman announced the group on Tuesday.
A new task force that's been actively engaged to mitigate the violent crime crisis. The Christian County Hopkinsville Violent Crime or Gun Crime Task Force.
This new task force includes additional support from the ATF, FBI, DEA, and local police departments.
Pikeville Medical Center has applied for a certificate of need to add 8 additional beds to the NICU. If approved, the organization will become an advanced level 2 neonatal unit and could treat babies born as early as 28 weeks. Tondra Blevins has worked in the NICU for many years. She tells WKYT the expansion would lift a burden for mothers and their families.
To see these babies and to see what we can do for these babies and how we care for these babies daily, to watch them grow, to watch them get better and to go home with their parents, that's what it's all about.
The hospital is hoping to hear back on the certificate of need by the beginning of 2020.
The Daniel Boone Pioneer Festival in Winchester will be returning for its 41st year tomorrow. Running through Sunday, the festival is a fundraiser for civic, nonprofit, and academic organizations in the area. Kitty Strode is festival chairman. She says the festival has become a big staple for the Clark County community, bringing in over 20,000 visitors every year.
Been going on a long time, and over the years we've added events and changed events, but it has grown each year. We're very fortunate to have the support of businesses in this community. We start off with a street dance on Friday night downtown, and then we move to College Park on Saturday with arts and crafts and nonprofits, food vendors, a talent contest, and then we have a walk and a run on Saturday morning.
The festival concludes with a country music concert Sunday evening featuring the bands Rifle Town, The Wooks, and Runaway June. For more information on registration and a schedule of events, visit DanielBoonePioneerFestival.com. Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight, clear with a low around 59. Friday, sunny with a high near 86. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 60. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 84. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 64. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 85. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 65. Monday, sunny with a high near 84. Monday night, mostly clear with a low around 66. Now taking a look at the current temperatures in the WMKY listening area. Flemingsburg is 80 degrees. It's 82 degrees in Maysville and Ashland. 81 degrees in Grayson, Inez, and Mount Sterling. 83 degrees in Lexington. And 81 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, Carter County Public Schools are equipping teachers to help students who may be dealing with trauma outside the classroom. WMKY's Joe Lewis has the story.
During his tenure as superintendent of Carter County Schools, Dr. Ronnie Dotson has emphasized ongoing professional development as one of the core tenets of the district's instructional philosophy. Each year, faculty and staff participate in monthly district-wide training sessions, typically based on content from emergent books on various learning topics. This year, Dotson says the trainings are moving in a new direction to provide a more holistic and nurturing classroom experience for students.
One of the things I'm really excited about this upcoming year, in addition to still learning new strategies for, you know, for teaching children, is that we actually have purchased a book for every teacher called Fostering Resilient Learners, and it's and what it's strategies for creating a trauma-sensitive classroom.
Dotson says traumatic life circumstances outside of the classroom are often overlooked, yet powerful forces that can hinder a child's learning. Especially in this area of the state, which ranks first nationwide in the percentage of children with at least one parent incarcerated.
The book focuses on trauma being anything that would be a major event in a child's life that would cause them not to be able to cope with things. For example, being in a divorced family could be a trauma for a child, or having a parent that's incarcerated. And you know, Eastern Kentucky has the highest percentage in the country of people that are incarcerated.
One of the primary things these trainings will do is help teachers identify just what trauma looks like in a child's life.
I think the first thing is just to get everybody to understand what trauma means in school. Because our first thing, when you think of trauma, I think of a trauma center at a hospital or, you know, and that kind of thing. So trauma, you know, means very different things. You know, some of our guidance counselors can talk about, you know, a little girl came to school the next day and her mother was arrested last night. You know, the last thing in the world on that little child's mind is worried about learning.
Many Eastern Kentucky children are cared for by various family members throughout the school week because a parent either can't be there for work reasons or isn't capable of caring for the child. Dotson says this kind of instability in a child's life can have a detrimental effect on their ability to focus on learning while at the school.
As a principal, even 10 years ago, of about 500 students, I would probably have 150 people that called the school every day to let their child know how to get home, where to go to that evening. That seems trivial, but I'm telling you, to a little child, not knowing where they're going to go home to is somebody, you know, did mommy remember to call and make arrangements for me? You know, it's just a big deal to kids.
He says the district will still put a strong emphasis on developing new classroom teaching strategies and school safety initiatives, in addition to learning how to create trauma-sensitive classrooms.
You'd have to say your number one focus is always keeping people safe, and we're here to educate kids, but at the same time, we realize that, you know, you can't educate kids if they are dealing with things at home that they just frankly can't cope with or that they push to the back of their mind. So we look forward to being able to help kids with the world that they live in.
Dotson says faculty and staff are excited about the opportunity to learn how to better care for the whole child when they walk through the doors of a Carter County school. For WMKY News, I'm Joe Lewis.
It's 4:48 and 81 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Cody Robinson has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays downtown Morehead on U.S. 60 near the City Park. The Round County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers, and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky proud.
The Eagles face off with the Bulldogs tonight in Morehead. For WMKY Sports, I'm Cody Robinson. Tonight is a season opener for the Morehead State University football team. Looking to improve on last year's 3-8 finish, we'll be starting things off against Union. Head coach Rob Tenier says this is a year of news. A lot of new players, new coaches, and new attitude.
And I think with that, all those things, I think the most important piece will be the consistency and the chemistry. And I think those are really important factors here week one, week two, week three, as we prepare to get into conference. So that's what I think our players have done a really good job with, is just adapting.
Kickoff against the Bulldogs is set for 6 o'clock at Jane Stadium. With football season starting tonight at Morehead State, fans might notice a change in traffic flow for parking at Jane Stadium. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins has the story.
The Eagles host Union tonight for the season opener. For fans who want to use general parking, those vehicles will no longer enter into the athletic complex on Playforth Place off U.S. Highway 60. The general parking entrance will now be a turn onto Lee Cemetery Road off of either Highway 60 or Main Street. Vehicles will then turn right onto Morrow Drive and proceed past the intramural soccer field and into the complex that way. General parking will be in the lots above Jane Stadium, behind Baseball Stadium, and in the softball lot at the bottom of the hill. Parking lot attendants and Morehead State Police will be out to assist fans and direct them to the correct entrances. For fans who hold passes to the Eagle Chevrolet Buick GMC tailgate zone, the entrance will still be off Highway 60 onto Playforth Place. Limited tailgate spots remain for single events or season passes. For WMKY Sports, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Morehead State Volleyball travels to Rock Hill, South Carolina to compete in the Christy Curtis Volleyball Invitational hosted by Winthrop. The Eagles open with host Winthrop this Friday afternoon at 1 before facing North Carolina A&T at 4 p.m. Morehead State closes the event facing Davison Saturday morning at 10. Head coach Jamie Gordon says his Eagles are led by a great core of returning players.
Senior leadership, Danielle McCarson, who's a fifth-year senior for us, it just does so much for this team. And then, you know, Carly Reynolds, our other senior, is a workhorse and really establishes a high level of expectation in the gym every day. So we've got some good pieces.
Fans can follow Morehead State Volleyball throughout the season by following the program on Twitter and Instagram at MSUEaglesVB. The University of Kentucky is boosting the pay for head football coach Mark Stoops by $500,000 per year. LAX 18 calls the change a vote of confidence ahead of the 2019 season's first game. Stoops' contract length is unchanged, ending June 30, 2025, but he will be paid $500,000 more annually. The changes also remove a $250,000 incentive for winning a 7th and 8th game, effectively granting Stoops that money and pushing that incentive to seasons of 9 wins or better. The changes also boost the amount of money UK would pay to buy out Stoops' contract, increasing on a sliding scale depending on the number of years left on the contract. Stoops also will be given 10 hours of private aircraft use for personal travel each year, according to officials. The Rowan County girls soccer team hosts East Carter tonight. The Vikings moved 3-1 and won on the season last night with a sweep of Greenup in their home opener. Head coach Alan Evans says,
We're going to be a different team. They're going to be a different team. Is this going to be who's taking the reins early on in the season? They probably have an advantage because they have more returning players. But I think with our tough preseason, that we're going to be right there. And we're going to be focused, and we have a very high offensive output.
Game time tonight in Morehead is set for 6 p.m. Taking a look at other girls' soccer action across the 16th region tonight, Ashland Blazer hosts Prestonsburg at 6:30 p.m., and Fleming County travels to Harrison County for a 7:30 matchup. Morgan County hosts a doubleheader with Powell County. The girls play at 6, with the boys' game to follow at 8 p.m. Boyd County is also hosting a doubleheader. They'll face off with Greenup County, with the boys at 6 and the girls' game at 8. In other boys' soccer action tonight, Fleming hosts Ashland Blazer and Russell travels to Lawrence County. Both those games are set for 6:30. And Bath County travels to East Carter for a 7 p.m. matchup. Looking at volleyball action in the region tonight, Fleming County hosts George Rogers Clark at 5:30 p.m. Morgan County hosts Menifee at 6, and East Carter hosts Fairview and Boyd travels to Rose Hill Christian at 7. We'll have scores from all of tonight's games tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Cincinnati Reds are looking to pick up the sweep in their series against the Marlins this evening. Cincy picked up yesterday's game with a 5-0 shutout. The game also saw a league record matched by outfielder Aristides Aquino. He hit his 13th homer of the month, tying the NL record set by Cody Bellinger on the Dodgers in June 2017. Manager David Bell tells Fox Sports Ohio he's working out great so far and hopes he can keep the momentum going.
You know, even from day one, they're not, you know, they're still trying to get him out, you know, with their best stuff. So that's the game. You know, you're back and forth with the adjustments. He's been able to keep up with that. You see that he has the ability and the talent, and, you know, and he has the makeup to go with it. So let's just see what happens. And like I said, I don't want to say he can't keep it going for sure, because what we're seeing leads us to believe that he can.
The Reds and Marlins wrap up their series this evening at 7:10. And finally in sports, the Cincinnati Bengals will play their final game of the preseason this evening. The Bengals will be playing the Colts, who come into the game with 0-3 preseason record. 22-year-old Damian Willis was recently named as a starting wide receiver for Cincy in the absence of A.J. Green. He tells Bengals.com he's ecstatic, especially after going undrafted.
Oh, it's very good news, very good news. It's something I've been dreaming about my whole life, to play in the league. And I always just had set my goals, I always just said the only goal I was focused on right now is making a 53-man roster, and then the next goal is to be playing on the playing, actually getting playing time. So when I just found that out, that's really, really happy and really blessed.
Kickoff from Paul Brown Stadium is set for 7:06. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Cody Robinson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football hosts Union College tonight. Kickoff is set for 6 p.m. Soccer welcomes Akron at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks jumped after China said it wished to resolve its protracted trade dispute with the U.S. with a calm attitude. And the Dow Industrials took off today, finishing with a gain of 326.15 at 26,362.25. The S&P 500 was up 36.64 at 2924.58. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 116.51 at 7973.39. Trade bellwethers Boeing and Caterpillar rose at least or almost 1% each, while Deere closed 2.5% higher. Micron Technology gained 3.5%. And this came as China's Commerce Ministry said that it was opposed to escalating trade tensions, hinting Chinese authorities will not retaliate against the latest round of U.S. tariffs. And of course, the U.S.-China trade war escalated earlier in the month when China unveiled new levies on $75 billion worth of U.S. products. And then, of course, President Trump announced he would raise tariffs on a slew of Chinese goods starting in September. And this uncertainty around trade has been hard on the markets this month. The markets have, for the most part, or all your major indices, for the most part, are down. The Dow and S&P are both down about 3% entering today's trade, and the NASDAQ has lost nearly 4% coming into today. The bond market also flashed a recession signal earlier this month, and the closely watched spread between the 10-year Treasury and the 2-year rate is trading around its lowest level since 27. And, of course, the 10-year yield is actually below the 2-year yield in what is called the yield curve inversion, and investors fear it, that this could be preceding, or it could be a flashing a recession sign. And also the rate on the benchmark 30-year Treasury bond has now sunk to an all-time low. In economic news, second quarter U.S. GDP growth was revised down to 2% from 2.1%. The revision was in line with analyst expectations. Pending home sales for July will follow after the close. In the commodities markets, oil is up 1.38% at $56.58 an ounce or a barrel. Gold was down 0.9% at $1,534.70 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks had a good day with the Stock 600 index up 1%. In Asia, stocks were down, but not by very much. The Nikkei down 0.1%, and the Shanghai Composite also down 0.1%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank up 47 cents at $39.12, Lowe's up 4.37 at $112.55, Marathon Petroleum up 2.25 at $48.58, UPS up $2.04 at $118.37, and Valvoline was up 27 cents to finish at $22.25. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from National Offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it today for Mountain Edition. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Shamari Mosley, Cody Robinson, Wyatt Melton, Chaz Jenkins, Zoe Hall, Jonathan Burton, WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hanson, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Joe Lewis. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.